Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello, my name is Todd, and I will attempt to be your paraclete. This is Wretched Radio. What in the world is a paraclete? It's a walk alongsider. It's a supporter. It's an encourager. It's a helper. And as I think is evident to everybody, that would be one of my spiritual gifts. Sorry. Still working on that cough thing. The issue of relationship between church and state, hotly contested, would like to be a help, courtesy of one Owen Strachan from Wretched Worldview 1.0, who presented his position on religious liberty. And I'm going to share it selectively because it was a long treatise on the subject of Christian nationalism versus the religious liberty position. And I thought it might help you. Now, please note, I know if you lean the Christian nationalist way, you're going to go, well, this is pretty much totally biased. Agreed. I offer it because Owen Strachan, smart dude. I thought he had a number of points that just might help you slot into where you stand on the issue. I think you got to pick the one where you go, that has the least deficiencies, that has the most strengths. Perhaps this will help you. His position, he's not a Christian nationalist, but he wants influence on the state of biblical truth. To encourage Christ's people to embrace the religious influence model of public theology. So we're going to call it Christian nationalism versus religious liberty or religious influence position. This has the gospel front and center as our message. I mean, it just gets so messy so fast. Because talk to a Christian nationalist and they're going to go, yeah, agreed. Great Commission first, but it's just weighted differently. So the religious influence position is it's all about the gospel. It sees the Great Commission as ordered around evangelism, discipleship, as the church's marching orders. It champions a suffering but convictional witness as our public theology. Our hope is not Christianization. That's helpful, isn't it? A public theology vacuum was created by NLNR leaders. If you're not familiar, think David French, think Russell Moore. Neither left nor right. We're just going to be nice. There's a word that sums up the key concern. It's just optics. We don't want to look nasty to the world, so they'll just like us and will not kill us. And so Christian nationalism, it has stepped really powerfully into that void. Come on! We got to do something here! That we just shouldn't be surrendering everything. And we would all agree with that. But what does that look like? That is the question. NLNR says, hey, got to speak softly and put down your stick. Christian nationalism says, be loud and pick up a cannon and fire it. The religious influence position says, and it's not a middle way, it says, we're about the gospel. We're about the local church, and we are going to be a public witness, willing to suffer and yet willing to be bold simultaneously. Where Christian nationalism, I believe, has gained so much popularity is it feels like we're doing something. We're finally, yes, we're speaking out in the public square. And I think those of us of the religious liberty / religious influence position would say we absolutely should too. In fact, this week, Andrew Walker is going to be in studio. He's one of our new fellows that's joining the ministry who's going to help us to speak into the public. And it's going to be so helpful. So helpful. I think that I'd recently mentioned that for the most part, these family councils and groups that are trying to vie for Christian values in government and in the marketplace, that they've given up on the gay marriage issue because they haven't been able to well articulate a position that doesn't look hateful, because love is love. And Andrew Walker is going to help us with it. There is a way to argue it forcefully, powerfully, biblically. There is stuff that we can do. The question is, what are we going to do? So don't think it's Christian nationalism, do something, Christian liberty, do nothing. Not the case. They both are about the business of doing something. Now, Christian nationalism, this is from Owen Strand, and I've heard this. They'll say, well, who do you want? What values do you want leading this country? Do you want biblical ideals or do you want secular humanism? And it's, you go, wow, yeah, biblical ideals. But that's a Mott and Bailey. That would be a presenting of the only two options being this or that, when there are other options. And so when the argument is put forward, do you want Christ or chaos? Well, I want Christ. Therefore, we need to have Christian nationalism. Well, hold on. That doesn't quite work for how I understand the Bible. Well, do you want chaos? Don't you want Christ? Do you want lordship or lawlessness? It's a powerful argument, but those are not the only two options. And the religious liberty / religious influence view says, oh no, we're gonna stand, we're gonna speak, and we're gonna proclaim, but we're not gonna try to make the government Christianized in any way, shape, or form. Why wouldn't you want the law of God to be the law of man? Is there any better? And we'd say, no, absolutely, you are correct. And we're going to experience the joys of being ruled by our benevolent king when he returns. Until then, government is established by God as a minister to do the things that he is doing to build his kingdom and his church. And so the Christian nationalist view, I believe, they set up a false dichotomy. They are the ones who are purporting to do something. Well, the religious liberty view, while it definitely has people who are NLNR, doesn't say to just be passive. No, we speak, we are like John the Baptist, but we do want to speak like John the Baptist didn't try to make Herod return Israel to a theocratic state. He proclaimed him, you're sinning. You are sinning. Now, Christian nationalism, this is Owen, should be understood as the opposite pole of neither left nor right. That's fair enough. And a lot of people have found that position to be really encouraging. It's either Christian nationalism or paganism. The religious liberty view says, no, there's another option. I don't want to put it in the middle, because these days you say you're in the middle, and that means you're squishy. So Christian nationalism is powerful in our context because we feel the need to do something. And I would shout, hey, so do we. But what is it? Now, back to Owen Strand. Christian nationalism represents a return to the magisterial public theology of the Reformation. And that is why, by the way, you will typically hear Christian nationalists quote the reformers, the magisterial reformers, because they were cooked in church-state mingling. So it was just assumed to them. And that is why a lot of times when I hear arguments for Christian nationalism, it is based on quotes from Calvin or Luther or Zwingli, less so the Bible. Many advocates, this is Owen of CN, speak positively of the medieval synthesis of church and state. That's why they desire, albeit in Protestant form, they write yearningly about days past, when entire nations and people groups supposedly converted to Christianity. I think that's fair. And I think the writings kind of bear that out. The most extended attempts to give historical grounding to Christian nationalism have been anchored in the magisterial Reformation. And that was really the position of all of the reformers, Zwingli, Calvin, Luther, Cromwell. The only thing that even comes close these days is Great Britain church state, where the king supposedly is the head of the Anglican Communion, the state religion of England. Now, totally watered down. Christian nationalism says, no, not watered down. The emerging evangelical movement, this is Owen, had numerous weaknesses and failings, and those endure to the present day, but we cannot miss this. The gospel slipped its bonds in the flowering of the free church era, when the church and state were no longer directly joined. Just think about how Christianity has flourished in America with religious liberty. The gospel went kaboom, and a harvest of good ideas followed. Religious liberty, freedom of conscience, free speech, all were tenets of the modern period. The magisterial reformation, there was good. You can't say everything about it was bad. But for those on the wrong side of the denominational debate, it wasn't a picnic. So if you had a Catholic king and you were a Protestant, look out. In fact, well, how's about Ulrich Zwingli? How's about Zurich? They wanted to drown the Anabaptists and thought that was biblical because they thought they were heretics. So Christian nationalism, very fond of the magisterial reformers, the Christian liberty, Christian influence view, much more grounded in more contemporary ideas, and ultimately religious freedom. This is Wretched Radio.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Picture this, later this year, 8 brilliant minds will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of the Daily Wire. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us.
Gotta tell you, the Masters Academy International, it's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical. Teaching men how to preach the word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. If you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that if and you want to at wretched.org/pass.
Well, if you're looking for a way to enhance your spiritual growth, let me point you in the direction of our video resources and MP3s that are available in the Wretched Store at wretched.org. Video series like Transformed and Road Trip to Truth offer visual and engaging ways to understand and apply biblical principles. And for those who prefer audio while you're driving to and from work, we have collections that cover a range of topics from theology to practical Christian living. You can shop right now at wretched.org. That's wretched.org.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. Meet Dr. Greg Gifford. Of course, most of you have already met him as he hosts the Transformed TV series and the Transformed podcast. We are so excited about the continued content that he will produce, and your support can help us bring more voices like Dr. Gifford's to the forefront. Just join our $250,000 match campaign today, where every dollar you're able to give will be matched. All the details are at wretched.org/fellows. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers.
Athenagoras was a Christian philosopher in Athens who used his training to defend the Christian faith against Roman persecution. He wrote On the Resurrection of the Dead, arguing that the nature of God, the nature of humanity, and the concept of justice only makes sense if there is a physical resurrection.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You pick your camp, I'll pick my camp, but we're both in the same camp. You say, that makes no sense. Welcome to Wretched Radio. You pick your camp, Christian nationalism or the camp of religious liberty, but recognize they are small c camps. The big camp is Christ. We can have differences of opinion on this subject, and we do, and we're not going to hate each other for it. Are we? Hope not. Owen Strand offering his take on, and really an encouragement for people to consider, a triumphalistic Christian liberty, a religious influence view. Christian nationalism is very appealing because it's about overcoming, pushing back the forces of darkness and winning. Well, so is the religious liberty view, but it's a different sort of triumph. It's a Great Commission triumph versus a great Christianization triumph. Having people behave based on Christian morals versus having people saved and then desiring to implement Christian morals. It's probably time for most of us to pick a camp. Not so that we can go to war against one another, but it's going to help you to kind of sort through the issues. And one of the encouragements that Owen Strand makes, as he rather very clearly states, he's not a Christian nationalist. He's a religious influence guy, that we should indeed have a sense of, come on, we are on the winning team and we've got the winning message. Let's get onto the field and proclaim it. We should long for the day when Jesus rules. But as Owen points out, that visitation of Jesus is not ours to enact. So that's an eschatological comment from him. Christ alone can write the world, and he will write the world. And in the meantime, we are still more than conquerors, and we're supposed to be about our Lord's business. This is from Owen Strand, I think being very, very helpful. You cannot force people to embrace the gospel. Can't rule the human heart in spiritual terms, but you can preach the gospel, and then you can act on the power of the gospel in all dimensions of creation. So bring it to your school, bring it to your political office, bring it to your homeschool group. Let it infect and invade everything. But that is a fruit of the gospel. If we are just trying to impose values, well, that does have benefits. You have to admit it. It does have benefits. When marriage is honored, there are benefits to that. But the Christian liberty, the religious influence position would say, preach the gospel, people get saved, and then we're all going to want the same thing. We're all going to want marriage. From Owen Strand, we must push for clarity between the gospel and gospel influence. If we collapse that distinction, we end up losing the gospel. He then does a deep dive treatise into Romans 3, 1 through 7, which is the battleground verse. He writes this, whatever the specifics of Roman taxation policy, we do well to note that in Romans 13, Paul does not urge the church to establish the theonomistic rule of God in any sense. It's just not there. Nor does he fan the flames of revolt or encourage the people of God to see Rome as an illegitimate state. And that helps us to know how we handle secularism. There is no neutrality in the cosmos, but Christians are called to live in contexts that do not actively encourage and reward biblical faith. Christians are nowhere summoned to theonomistic nation takeovers on the back of postmillennial theology. Now, I got to tell you, if you read the whole thing, that maybe sounded kind of strong. And it was strong. It's all baked in politeness. I think Owen, his tone was amazingly kind. Christians are encouraged to lead quiet and peaceable lives, pay their taxes, submit to the governments as much as they can, and then get to work. still preach the gospel, still bring gospel values into conversations. And there is a way to do that. Andrew Walker is going to be helping us with that. It's going to be a resource. Can't wait. And by the way, I think maybe we have a few seats available. He's going to be here Wednesday and Thursday. You can be in the studio. You'll be in the Wretched Studio with Dr. Andrew Walker. He delivers a presentation on developing Christian ethics so that we can engage. See, and he's a Baptistic religious liberty guy. But he's always speaking out. He's just trying to do it with a Great Commission principle, a religious liberty view, as opposed to a Christian nationalism view. Back to Owen Strand. The elegant conception of government is in complete sync with Jesus' teaching, makes room for the free church. Baptists is a free church tradition. We do not, we frankly, he said, do not have the entwined heritage of Congregationalists, Anglicans, Presbyterians, or related groups, for all of them have sought and found a very strong connection between church and state. Baptists, by contrast, have not historically championed theocracy or theonomy as their political philosophy. They've wanted a separation of powers and a recognition of appropriate spheres of authority and influence. Here comes some strong, this is speaking strongly. There's simply no mandate in the New Testament to merge the church and state. Jesus didn't do it. Paul didn't do it. The state does not, should not, oversee the church. The state does not and should not discipline citizens over spiritual matters. The state does not and should not order the people toward a great vision of worship or spiritual practice. The state does not and should not adjudicate what is considered blasphemy in Christian terms. All of this is because the church is not the state, and the state is not the church. That's basically the difference. Which camp do you find yourself in? Which view basically says, you know what, I think that one's the most biblical? Because we need to understand that one of these views, it doesn't neatly deal with every single possible scenario. They'll all be considered deficient in one way or another. But I think you need to pick where you're at. But I don't think then that your challenge is done. In fact, I think it's just begun. Because now you've got a challenge on two fronts. You have to figure out, how is it, as a Christian nationalist or as a religious liberty guy, I'm going to implement what I believe is the biblical definition of relationship between church and state. What does it look like, and how do I practice that without ever losing the gospel? That's a challenge, but I think the second challenge, which might actually be greater, is on the front of Christian relationships. How are we going to treat one another? How are you going to treat the one in your church who says, no, that's not my position. I'm on another side. Are you going to be able to take communion together? And by the way, not kidding. If in your heart, whatever side of the aisle you're on, if you're harboring animosity towards somebody in your church because they hold on to a different view, you shouldn't take communion because your heart is not ready. This is an issue that cannot be overlooked, that we have got to go about the business of still loving one another and still respecting one another and still engaging with one another and sorting this out. Now, to note, if either side gets wonky in one way, shape, or another, then of course you call that out. I'm talking about theological wonkiness. You got to call that out. But when we're talking about the application of the Bible in these sociological issues, this is the zone where we have got to have a great deal of, I'm going to use the word, tolerance with one another. We've done it before. We've done it before. You get along with people who have, for instance, different eschatological views. You probably get along with people who have different Sabbath views. I'll bet you know somebody who doesn't agree with you completely on the Sabbath. I'm not talking about which day. I'm talking about what to do with the day. Let's say you're a complete rest person, but you probably know somebody who doesn't adhere to that? Do you hate them? Do we say nasty things to one another? Do we reject them? Are they not welcome then to come to our events, be a part of our church? And the answer to that would be no, we can get along on those things. And we should be able to get along on these things. We should. And I grant you, even as I say that, I recognize there are some social issues where it's like, no, like abortion, mutilating children. No quarter there. But that's not the same as the debate over the relationship between church and state, which historically it has been so hotly contested. And we almost, I'm afraid, we can kind of adopt the chronological snobbery of secularists. Oh, we don't want to go back and look back in time to see. Well, we look back in time and here's what we see. Good Christians have had different opinions, and we shouldn't drown one another. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.